He's coming back. But so many in the church don't understand it and do not believe it. So they're not living like Jesus could come back today. In fact, as we learned in Ephesians, when we were not born again, we lived as if God didn't exist. That's what all non-believers are doing right now. They don't think about God. They don't care about God. They don't, you know, maybe God's a spaceman, and maybe he come from another planet, or maybe he's this, or maybe he's the moon, or, right? They mock, they don't believe.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus teaches on using His name in prayer as our study of John continues in chapter 16, verse 16. Here's Pastor Bob.
Jesus says, a little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Now, there's a couple of things going on there. In a short while, he's going to be arrested. This night that he's talking to them, they're headed for the Garden of Gethsemane right now. He's going to pray. They're going to sleep. And he will be arrested there. So he went through 6 mock trials, and there were no charges at the end of all of that, at the end of that night, no charges. Guilty of nothing. But they falsely accused him anyway, and they put him to death on the cross. And he will die there, and he will be buried, and on the third day, he will rise again. And you know what? They're going to see him. A little short time, you're not going to see me. He was in the grave 3 days. But then he rose from the dead. A little short time, you won't see me. And then you will see me. Because when he rose from the dead, they saw him again. Remember? And then he ministered to them and to those and others for the next 40 days. And then he ascended back to heaven, to the Father. So, is it talking about this night? Yes. I'll read it again. A little while and you shall not see me. Again, a little while you'll see me because I go to the Father. Is it talking about this night? Yes. But it's also talking about you and me. So a little while, he says, I'm going to be in heaven. A little while. See, that's 2,000 years. Been 2,000. To me, I go, I love you, but that I don't call that a little while. There's no time in heaven. A little while, you won't see me. You're going to have to trust. We're in that little while right now also. Yeah, that was the 3 days. Then they saw him and he ministered, but he said, I'm going back to my Father. And you're not going to see me again for a little while. And then you will see me again. So it's covering really, it's a twofold understanding here, but both of them are counted in here. So he returns to the Father in heaven. And now for a little while, he's been gone. And what are we doing? Trusting, resting, hoping, serving, looking for him to come back every day because he promised. And he will come back and take the church, his bride, back to the Father's house. You can read it again if you get some time, John chapter 14, the first 6 verses. So, we move on. Then, some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he's saying to us? In American, I don't understand what he means. Do you guys? That's what they're saying. What's he saying to us? What is this he says to us? A little while and you won't see me, and again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. What? That doesn't even make any sense. And that's what they're saying to one another. You think they would ask Jesus? But they've asked him, and he's given them answers, and they're still going, okay, I'm still confused. So they're looking at each other going, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you guys, is anybody here? Can someone help me? Is what they're saying. They said, therefore, what is, in verse 18, what is this that he says? A little while? We cannot tell what he's saying. In American, I don't understand a word he's saying. And verse 19 says, Jesus knew that. Jesus is listening to them talk to one another. He knew that they were desirous to ask him. I don't know what he's saying. Do you know what he's saying? No. I'm clueless. I don't know. They wanted to ask him, so he spoke up. You know, that kind of helps me here with prayer sometimes. I don't know if sometimes you pray and you kind of think, Lord, I'm kind of, I don't even know if this is a dumb question. I don't even know how to, I don't know what's going on. And he knows that, and so what does he do? He steps up. He goes, are you inquiring among yourselves what I just said? A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall. And they're all, I know these guys because I'm one of them. And I know they're going, they're not even making a noise, just shaking their heads. Truly, truly, Jesus says. Is that what's bothering you? You're not understanding it? Truly, truly, I say unto you, you shall weep and lament. Lament means being heartbroken and full of sorrow. You will, not you might in the coming days or in the next few hours, but you will weep, actually tears, and be brokenhearted and full of sorrow. But the world, while you're doing that, will rejoice. The world's going to be glad that they put him to death. And you shall be full of sorrow, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. He's saying he's going away, literally. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm going to be gone. You won't see me. Literally, I will be literally gone. And at the same time, he says, he's going to return. He's going to come back literally as well. Between those times, you're not going to see him. He speaks to them. Truly, truly, I say unto you, you will weep. You will. This is a promise now. This isn't something that could happen if you're not paying attention. This will happen to you, Christian. You will weep. And you will lament. You'll be full of sorrow. But the world at the same time rejoices. You understand that right now the world has no time for Jesus. You know, all this Jesus junk. You know, in fact, in China, what are they saying? Get all that off the wall. He's not going to save you. He's not going to get you a better job. The communist government will. You know, we're going to take care. Put everybody on Medicare. Do everything for everybody. We will be. No. We have a Lord God who promised to take care of every one of us. Remember? Truly, truly, you'll weep and lament. The world will laugh and sing and play and dance because Jesus is out of the way. You'll be sorrowful, but your sorrow is going to turn to joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Yeah, it's hard to be here. Yes, it's hard. When you get a job, God bless you, you have it. But you do have to work, and you have to be honest, and sometimes you get passed over for races and things, and you have to just say, God is good, and you just keep on going. God's going to handle it. God will do this. But look at your hurry. Because the money goes to the third week of the month, and the month goes to the end. And Lord, if you could find your way here, help, right? It's okay, cry out, do that. Your grief will turn to absolute joy. God's Holy Spirit will help them to see that. Right now, they're totally lost, they're confused. But God's Holy Spirit helps you to see that. Jesus had to die. He had to die. He's going to the cross. They're going to be so brokenhearted, and we look and we see the suffering of our Savior, and we're kind of thrilled. Why? Because it was for us, it was done. The Holy Spirit has taught us that. So that's why we can actually call it Good Friday. What's so good about someone suffering on the cross for hours and hours? He paid the price in full for my sin and yours. That's what's good about it. Because Jesus had to die to pay for the sin of the world, to pay for the sins of mine, to pay for the sins of yours, to pay for all the sins. So you're going to weep, you're going to lament, but it will turn to joy. Then he helps us understand in verse 21. A woman, when she is in travail, in other words, childbirth, birth pains, she has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, once the child is born, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a child is born into the world. And you now, therefore, have sorrow. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will ever be able to take from you. Don't give up your joy. To help us understand it, to help those men understand it, all of us and those men, those disciples, he uses an illustration of childbirth. A woman, when she is going through the pain of labor in childbirth, has sorrow. The language is agony, distress, pain, because her hour has come for that little baby to be delivered. It seems so much pain, excruciating pain, and it seems so long. I read the lady that had twins. That was in the news today. I'm a news junkie. The lady had twins, and she was in labor a little over 50 hours, but she didn't know there were twins, neither did the doctors. The little boy stayed hidden. Smart guy. So he was born 59 minutes after his sister. They were getting ready to sew this lady up, and they found another little head. Nobody knew. He was hiding when they did the scan quickly as they brought her in, and so no one ever knew. It's so painful, and it seems so long, and she's suffering great and terrible pain. But when that little one, or two of them, is born, the pain fades away quickly. And she remembers the anguish no more. What does that mean? She's ready to have another one. No, what it means is now the heart and the focus is now off of the terrible hardship and filled with joy because they had a little baby with five fingers and five toes and, right? 10 fingers, 10 toes, whatever they're supposed to have. And in that day, because no man takes that joy from you, no one takes it. And in that day, verse 23, you shall ask me nothing. I like that. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he's giving us by grace through faith permission to speak in Jesus' name to the Father on the throne. He will give it to you. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto, or up till now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be fully complete. Up to now, disciples, Christian, the disciples have been walking with Jesus day by day. Think about it. If they had questions or requests, what did they do? Did they run off and pray to God? No. They said, teach us to pray. They asked Jesus, the Son of God. He was right there with them. He was with them every day. If they had questions, if they had requests, they said, Jesus, where are we going to eat? We're getting kind of hungry. Lord, what do you want us to do now? Would you go over and get this and get this ready for the summer? Yes, sir, we're on it, right? If they wanted to know, they just asked Jesus Christ, God Almighty in human flesh. And he's with them. And Jesus is basically saying, I'll paraphrase, since he won't be there physically with you, where will you turn? I will not leave you comfortless. You'll have God's Holy Spirit. But where will you turn? And Jesus gives his followers, now get this, don't miss it. Because did they always pray to God? Yeah, they would say their prayers. You go in and you'd say your prayers on the Sabbath. And, you know, you read those. I would go to church and you do the Our Father and the Hail Mary and the act of contrition and all those things you had memorized. I could do them in record time. But look at what Jesus has given to us. by his death and his resurrection on the cross. Jesus gives his followers a special privilege of going directly to the God Almighty, the Father, on the throne. You couldn't do that before. You had to go through the priests, remember? You had to bring everything to the priest, and the priest would offer that up for you. Jesus is giving those boys, but not just them, every one of us, permission. Special privilege going directly to the Father. Right now, you can get tired of listening to me. You can start praying directly, by grace through faith, directly to the Father on the throne. You don't have to go through a priest or some other, sideshow act or whatever. You go straight to God in Jesus' name. That's a privilege. It's an honor. People can't do that unless you belong to Jesus Christ.
The disciples had never asked the Father in Jesus' name ever yet for anything. Why would they? Jesus is right here. Jesus is God Almighty. They know he's the Messiah. They know it. So they just say, teach us this, Lord. What do you say about that? But they are given this privilege now, and we have that privilege too in and through Jesus Christ. All of us that belong to Jesus ask the Father in Jesus' name. And listen to what Jesus said to you and me. Answered prayer brings complete joy because God is at work in all that are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus just said. Hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. You shall receive that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in Proverbs. You and I would use the word in our language, parables, stories. But the time is coming when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you. You better mark that down. You better underline that in your Bible or just underline it in your heart. The Father loves you because you have loved me. If you say yes to Jesus Christ, then the Father says, you are mine. Does he love everybody? Of course he loves everybody. He's talking about a special love here now, a different kind of relationship. Look, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God, that I was sent here by God. I came forth from the Father and I came into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Put it together. Jesus was the greatest teacher and will always be the greatest teacher. And while he taught, he would use parables. He would use figurative language. He would use analogies. He would use symbolism. He would find something to help you and me and all the people listening grasp the things he wanted to communicate, just grasp a concept. And he'd say, so a sower went to sow some seed. Remember? And it makes us understand how the word of God goes forth, and some of it falls on hearts that are ready to hear it, some of it not. And we learn. What Jesus is simply saying here is that because we've given our hearts and our lives to Jesus by grace through faith, we have also entered, mark it down, into a personal love and faith relationship with the Father. We literally have a personal relationship with our Father in heaven and a faith relationship with God Almighty. And here in verse 28, Jesus repeats the claim that he is equal with the Father. Notice, he doesn't say, I came forth from God. It's more intimate than that. No, I want you to know we are co-equal. I came forth from the Father. The Bible says, meaning Jesus is the eternal Son of the eternal Father, equal with God the Father. He left this world and he went right back where? Not to God, but to the Father in heaven. He sits at the right hand of the throne, co-equal, and he will rule and reign. His disciples said to him, lo, now you're speaking plainly. In other words, they're listening to him. Now, it's actually starting to make sense to me. And you're speaking no proverb. You're just speaking plainly. Thank you. Now we are sure that you know all things. They know he's the Son of God. They know he's the Messiah, because we're sure you know all things. And you need not that any man should ask you. But by this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered and said, do you now believe? In other words, really? Really do you? Behold, the hour is coming. Yea, it now is, right now. And you shall be scattered. You're going to separate from each other. You're going to run for the hills and hide, wherever you can hide. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. I know you love me. I know you trust me. But you still don't quite understand all that's happening. We do. It's making sense. It's okay, and I love you. But he says, I just need to know the hour's coming. And right now, coming up in the next few hours, this is going to happen. They don't understand that, but they'll get it. You shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There it is. The disciples say, they say, it's starting, I think I'm getting it. It makes a little bit of sense to me what you're saying, Lord. You know all things, and you did come from the Father, from Father God, the Father in heaven. Jesus says, well, I'm paraphrasing, still a little bit more you're going to need to get through and see. You'll learn. You go through a difficult time of testing. Tonight, it starts. When he goes back, it sends back to the Father, they're going to go through more of a difficult, and the church has been going through that since Jesus ascended back to the Father, and will continue to go through it until he comes back to get us. So if somebody's telling you there's going to be a big revival and the world's going to turn, that's not scriptural. Jesus says, there's still a little more to learn. You're going to go through a difficult time of testing. I'm going to be arrested. He didn't say that, but I'm telling you. I'm going to be arrested, put to death. You're going to all panic. You're going to scatter. You're not even going to look out for each other. It's going to be every man for himself. When the ship is finally going down, after you hear the buzzers and thing, that's what they yell. When they yell every man for himself, you get off that ship. If you take someone with you, that's a kind thing to do, but you know it's going down and it's over. You got to get off and get away from that thing, right? And he said, that's what they're going to do. They're going to scramble. This thing is sinking. We're going down. Everybody get off. You'll be arrested, put to death. You'll panic. You'll scatter. But I will not be alone, even though you're going to leave me all. You're going to leave me alone. I won't be alone. My Father will be right there with me. And he wants them to have peace. Where does it say that? I've spoken to you these things that in me, belonging to Jesus, you might have peace. In the world, you won't have peace. There's a peace in your heart, but the world's going to bring tribulation. But be filled with joy. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This world can't get you. The biggest thing they could do is take your physical body, put that to death, and that's not you. That's the tent. He wants you to have peace. Not just these 11, you and me and every Christian on this planet. When they would be hated, persecuted, pursued, falsely condemned, tortured, beaten, burned alive, stoned to death, etc., and falsely condemned and tortured, crazy tortures. I want you to have peace, my peace in your heart. Jesus overcame the world there at the cross of Calvary. He defeated the devil. And he overcame the world. They buried him, and he rose from the dead. The grave couldn't hold him. Death couldn't keep him. He rose from the dead. That's the power and the glory and the authority of God. That's good for me and you to see and know, because in spite of the tribulation and the trouble and the persecution and all, they can rest assured that they have the victory in Jesus Christ.